across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, I think we were all in a state of shock after the Super Bowl halftime ritual. Can we call it a ritual? We're going to dig into that. We're going to understand what we're looking at here. Is it ritual? Is it propaganda? Is it both? One man can answer this question. That is Crow. You all know him. You love him. He's been a great guest here on the show and many others. He's one of the hardest working men in the conspiracy field and has brought to us amazing insights to all levels of conspiracy and answers to how we can possibly get out of this madness. Because once you know, that's only the start. As a matter of fact, once you know, you might be in more danger than not knowing anything at all. So we're going to dig into this, dig deep, understand how this all works. And welcome to a great show. Hi, Crow. Welcome to the Free Zone.
Hey, Freeman. Thanks so much for having me on again, man.
Yeah, it's always good to chat with you. Another brother from another mother. Looking at our strange world, trying to sort it all out, figure out what's going on, what's up with these people, ritual magic going on around everyone, and no one seems to be aware. And once they become aware, they're not aware of the revelation of the method. I mean, the Super Bowl halftime show, I know you didn't dig into watching all of that. Completely understandable. But I have been reading all the analysis and reviews that have come out from the multitudes of people around there trying to, you know, unveil the ritual magic of it. And I find this really intriguing as people are starting to understand that there are aspects of our world that are based around ritual magic, but yet so few even understand the point and purpose or how long magic has been a part of our world. Do you have any thoughts on that aspect of things?
Yeah. The first ingredient I always like to say when spells are going to be cast, and it's not always magic, most times not like magic-y like people are thinking. It's simply an illusion or getting a human being to do a thing that they wouldn't have done otherwise. But the first ingredient to that is a high state of emotion. If you can get people crying, if you can get them pumping their fist in the air because AC/DC is hitting the power cord, any form of high emotion is the first ingredient.
Let's use Hitler as an example. When he would set up at Nuremberg with the big blaring lights and everybody in their ritual garb, making sure all the colors are right, the sounds are right, and Hitler got everybody into a religious frenzy as he spoke.
Right. Using oratory, the uniforms, just the kind of stagecraft of it all, certainly. Although, you know, looking back, we have to question how much of what we've been told about that hits the mark. But to get back to the Super Bowl, the first thing I noticed is very red. Everything about the Super Bowl was red. But it occurred to me because I was over with my mom, who's almost 90, and she wanted to watch it. And she was pinging me, telling me something wrong with my TV. Come to find out that the Super Bowl, the only channel, is playing in Spanish. And when it went to commercials, it was in English, went back to the Super Bowl, and Cox had just forced everyone to upgrade their equipment. And I thought, well, that's strange. So, you know, I couldn't fix it. And I scheduled someone to come out and deal with it. But then I went back later and watched some of the halftime, and it struck me immediately. This was all, one of the aspects of this was about disenfranchising English-speaking Americans and enfranchising the rest of the Spanish-speaking world in the Americas. Walt Disney did it. And we commented about this before we went on the air, because I know you're old enough to remember when Walt Disney, there was a big strike for the first time against Disney Studios. So they packed up their planes, went to South America. That's the story we're told. Or down to Mexico. I think down to South America too. And they started creating cartoons that would enfranchise the Spanish-speaking world. They were reaching out, oh, we're special, Walt Disney has come to visit. This is exactly what was going on with the Super Bowl. how much of that was in Spanish, how many American people, because the superb owl, or the Super Bowl as we call it, is aimed in America. It is a worldwide event, but it's an American thing, but most Americans don't speak Spanish. So how could it be that that entertainment was predominantly Spanish, or a good portion of it was Spanish, complete with two Spanish-speaking women stars? We'll have to talk about the stripper pole at some point, but J-Lo at one point is wearing a cape that looks like an American flag. She takes it off. It's a Puerto Rican flag she puts up on the stage at the biggest show in America in a given year, happening on the 33rd day of the year, leaving, of course, 333 days remaining in the year. The whole thing is done with intent. It is certainly casting spells. It is certainly creating the high emotion. This particular one was heavily sexually driven, more leg spreading than I've seen in a long time at a Super Bowl. The only thing that maybe I could compare was the supposed wardrobe malfunction, where you got to see a boob and they acted like that was an accident. There's your high emotion to start casting spells there. But once they do it, there's always something that's going to follow. Once they've tilled that field, there will be seeds planted.
Without a doubt, it's a huge propaganda campaign. And if we were to take an overview of the propaganda that was coming out of the Super Bowl, it was matriarchy. It was the empowerment of women. And of course, they always use good for bad. Of course, some people are going to say, yeah, sure, women need to be empowered, but there's a purpose and a plan behind this. They were commercials that were saying, give space to women. And then the entire, of course, halftime show was predominantly women. And then they even brought out the women owners of football teams, which right. Most football fans have never seen the women of football being brought out forward, and these old ladies that actually own the teams. But that was definitely the overarching theme. In the commercials, most of the males were beta males, if they were white males. And then everything else had to do with the with women. And so it was definitely, I expected them, instead of to pull out Led Zeppelin, to start playing Beyonce, you know, Women Rule the World or whatever that song was. But that was definitely the message they were sending this Super Bowl, was matriarchy in the biggest sense. And then, yes, I don't think I've seen one awards program, music awards program, or now Super Bowl that didn't have some sort of stripper effect on it. Even when Maroon 5 played the Super Bowl last year, he stripped. And I always thought, boy, those poor jocks in the audience having to watch, Adam Levine strip on stage. You know, it was hard to watch. And then, of course, we had Justin Timberlake the year before, you know, who was also involved in the Nipplegate. And, but he did Prince. And then we go all the way back to Prince, 2007, when Prince did the show, and he had a big sheet up on stage. So it just showed a silhouette of him at one point of the show. And he used his guitar to look like a phallus in the shadow. And that was the second time people got upset after Nipplegate. Now, strangely, Nipplegate, if you guys don't know, that's Janet Jackson's nipple showing on the Super Bowl, which became a big deal. And, of course, this was, for me, the first moment I recognized ritual magic in these scenarios, because I knew already that the goddess bared her breast and that the gold sun was the god and that this was a hermaphroditic symbol. So, strangely enough, that is the reason for the creation of YouTube. I don't know if you know this, Crow. I was looking into the history of YouTube because I wanted to see if FreemanTV.com had been around longer than YouTube, and it has. But YouTube started because the two guys that founded it wanted to find that video of Janet Jackson's breast being bared on the Super Bowl, and they couldn't find it anywhere on the World Wide Web. Boy, we remember the days back then. And so they decided to create a video channel so that people could upload these things. And that's how YouTube came to be. It was Nipplegate, that started YouTube in the very first place.
Well, that was also insider baseball. Very few people understand those two dudes had come from, what was it? I forget, eBay or PayPal. They'd right. come from one of the few behemoths that were allowed to survive the internet bubble. Most people think the internet bubble was speculation and Wall Street gone crazy. It's absolutely not. What it was the clearing of the playing field for the Amazons and the eBays and eventually the YouTubes to take over communication and sales online. It was all orchestrated, but I was not aware that they were citing the Janet Jackson thing, which shows you that YouTube's connected to that spell. This one that we just did, you know, it's funny. I was trying to think when last, because I just like yesterday, I saw some of those clips and actually on YouTube, which is how I'm able to talk about them, but I did not see all the way back to maybe Prince as the last Super Bowl halftime I can remember, but so much gender confusion wrapped up in all this. Prince is a prime example. Even his symbol there is the Mars and Venus sign brought together, masculine and feminine. Back even purple, Hermaphrodite. Purple, his color is the same thing. You know, it's blue and red, a masculine and a feminine color brought together to make that color, which symbolizes mastery. I doubt many people would say he wasn't a master of his guitar or performance, but it goes back before that. But when we get up to where we are now, it's complete gender confusion. It's not just the kind of bizarre sexuality that they want to normalize. And I maintain a big part of that is so children, you know, won't be born. It's population control. People who don't get in a gender balanced relationship are not going to have children. I don't know how else to put that more politely, but it's a fact. If you put two men together, two women, there's no children coming out of that union. And there's a big part of it. You know, they're trying to convince you that world population is climbing. Jason and I did endless research to show the exact opposite is true. If in three generations, birth rates don't climb, there will be longstanding countries and their ethnicities that will be headed for extinction. Japan is one of them. Actually, most places are in line for that, with the exception of Catholic places, because they tend to have a lot of children, Hispanic, a lot of African races. But everyone else, we can show it's declining, almost everyone else. And part of it is that everyone's going to city centers, so they look crowded, but when you get on a plane, you see the truth. As soon as you leave the city center, you're over unpopulated land for, 90% of your flight. But to get back to the point, the gender confusion wrapped up in the Super Bowl is just another version. It's multifaceted, where the women are being portrayed as in charge, but not in charge as women per se, more like as in charge like men, like a masculine form of women, but then they bend it with the stripper pole to bring the sexuality back into it. It's all very bizarre, and it's all very transparent for anyone who's got at least one good eye to see with.
Yeah, it's amazing. People don't realize that they are, you know, in the midst of propaganda. It's like, come on. This is nothing new. This has been the method all along the way. So you should know that you're being programmed during these major events like this, and then just watch what the overall theme is throughout the entire scenario, all the commercials, everything else, and realize that this is propaganda and that you are being engineered. And then, you know, now people are aware of the ritual aspects of these type of performances. And so they're seeking to show any sort of signs of Satan worship or any Kabbalah. See, like most of the time, if you were to look at Madonna's performance, if you were to look at Katy Perry's performance, these are Kabbalah and more relate to the Ordo Templi Orientis, or the, you know, Crowley's magical order. When you look at the signs and symbols they used on the stage, they're not Freemasonic at all, but they are satanic and they are OTO. So when you get to this point where you're trying to pick out you know, the nefarious satanic or symbols in the current one. I mean, yeah, all right, J-Lo's dress or lack of J-Lo's, what do you call that, onesie, did kind of have a Baphomet shape. And then when they showed an aerial view of the stage at one point, it became the female symbol, again, marking that propaganda. But yet that symbol is also used in the Church of Satan. And you can find it there in the satanic demonic sigils. So you could find some demonic attention giving in this particular halftime show, but at the same time, it was more of a gender bending sort of scenario, like you're saying. And yes, please, let's leave the stripping at the strip club, you know?
Well, we did research that showed what the 60s music scene was. You know, a guy named McGowan had really started to pull the scab off that. But when I read McGowan, I kept noticing all these things missing, like he would cite these dates but wouldn't state why the dates are important. And then it occurred to me that maybe he couldn't for safety's sake back then, or maybe there were other reasons. So we started going back down to show it. And, you know, we can say now the Beatles, that's a Tavistock production, lock, stock, and barrel. It's what it was. All the people in the canyon there in LA where the folk movement went electric, that was all a put up. It was all engineering to destroy the family unit in a meaningful way, which it did. Put everyone on drugs, which it did. Not just that generation. It's been going on ever since, differing levels. But by the time we got to rap, it was the same thing done that was done to my generation with rock and roll from the 60s, but more blatant and in your face. And it was very kind of unmasked, you know, this whole gangster rap thing where women were bitches and hoes, money was the only thing that mattered, violence and guns and gangsterishness were the main driving force. But you see, that got old quick. But those are the foundations from where all that music came, and there's really no separating. As a matter of fact, by the time gangster rap happened, one guy in LA, Iovine, I think his name is, the main guy who controlled almost all music, he had to do with John Lennon back in the day. So it goes to show you, these are all constructs, and it's all designed to socially engineer the world population. And the one way you can get at world population easily is through entertainment. Even when the supposed Russians were behind a wall, they go back now and credit the breaking of communism with bands like the Beatles and other Western culture things, because the Russians were looking at it saying, look how free they are in the West. The truth is, yeah, we were freer than they were, but we were being programmed at a rate that is unimaginable. In three generations, we have gone from reasonably high-minded people, my grandparents, maybe not some of the younger people, it would be their great-grandparents, to what we are now, where the children are not even taught cursive in school. The level of math for a high school grad is, you know, below what it used to be for fifth graders early on in the 1900s. So it's all about social programming. It's all about a one world takeover. And that's well symbolized in the two buildings that were removed from New York City. What stands there now? Not two, the two went into one World Trade Center, whatever the hell they call that thing.
Right.
This is what's going on. And this is the reason they're going for control of the entire enchilada. And when I say the entire enchilada, I'm talking the side of beans and the lettuce they put on top, all of it, to include your fork, your cup, the table it sits on, the family that went with you to have that enchilada, all of it. That's what they're going for right now. And it's everything you see coming through the news or media is versions of that. The new Spider-Man, good example. The coronavirus nonsense, perfect example. These are all just seeking that same pie in the sky dream. There's going to be some sick minds out there that control everything, basically.
Well, I want to mention to the listeners that we did have a couple of great shows with David McGowan and before he passed. And David and I became kind of friends behind the scenes. So I did ask him about that. And he said he really just wanted to present the evidence and you determine the conclusions on your own. So I and he wasn't really into ritual magic. He really was just a carpenter.
Well, I want to add. At the time, it bothered me when I first came across that PDF that everyone saw 10 years ago or 15, maybe it's even close to 20. I don't know. The PDF everybody knows about Laurel Canyon. It's big. I think it might have started as an article, but it bothered me to see the dates when I realized that's Crowley. I forget if it was Crowley's death date or his birth date. And it was over and over, but it doesn't bother me now because I do see, as a researcher who's been researching as long as I do, when you're focused in like laser vision on the thing you're trying to get at, the ancillary things right so close to you but not in your immediate field of view don't get the attention. So when Jason and I went back, we grabbed those dates up. We showed why they mattered. But at the end of the day, what it actually did was end up furthering McGowan's argument. Hold on, let me kill this.
Right, exactly. And I'd like to mention to the audience that if you go back and watch the earliest Freeman Perspectives, go back and listen to the earlier shows, you're a new person now. You have new understanding. And so when you look at the old work, you'll see new things because now you have a new perspective on things. So I always try to recommend people go back to the old stuff because it you'll see a whole lot more now that you understand what I was trying to say. And so, you know, make sure
people,
to do that.
Yeah, people have come a long way, haven't they, Freeman?
Yeah.
You know, we do a Q&A. We're subscribers of Crow777Radio.com. From time to time, we ask for questions to be submitted. And we just did that again. If you compare them to 3 or 4 years ago, you can really see. And one of the big tells was the whole Kobe incident, the Kobe beef incident, as I like to call it.
Well, let me use this then as an in, because I just had a listener to the show send a question in for you.
Okay.
So he says, well, I think it's fitting to ask you how you guys view celebrity deaths and if you view it to be all orchestrated. With Kobe dying, or whatever truly happened, it feels much larger than most celebs who have died in recent years. I think that all depends on your focus, too, because there's been a lot of, I'm just adding this in myself, there's a lot of you know, rock and roll deaths going on. But okay, so what's also interesting is gematria and how that works. When I see the predictive programming revelation of the method combined with connections in gematria, I cannot ignore it. But it also is mind-blowing how much planning must go into that. Now, that's a big thing there, too, when you start...
Everything, though, not just that, everything. You know, I would point out, this is not just some special event that's been singled out and we're going to plan the crap out of it. Everything is planned that way. And you've got to be aware of it. And so, I didn't mean to step on you, Freeman, but to take part of what he said, yeah, this is all a put-up. It's all entertainment. The best way that we've ever been able to describe what's going on here is think of a person who's not famous, who wants to be, and then is made famous. What's happened for that person? They've basically been made a king or a queen in a way, right? Passports don't matter to them anymore. If they want to get on a private jet and go to anywhere, they can do it.
Like Greta Thunberg?
I'm not sure I'd call that celebrity, but anyhow, you know, if you want to go to the Four Seasons and get the penthouse, you can do these things. All of a sudden you've been handed a higher level of ability as a human being, but you want to know what? It's all on loan. You got to give it back. David Bowie had to give it back. There's a big name. Look at Prince. And the thing about Prince is a good example. From the album that made him famous, he even has it in the song, Let's Go Crazy. Don't let the elevator break you down or bring you down, whatever the hell he says. He's pre-echoing. And 47 years before he died, the band America, in a song called Ventura Highway, they probably didn't even know what they were singing, for crying out loud, have a whole verse about Purple Rain, which after the death of Prince, someone went back to the writer of that song in America. By the way, they weren't Americans, they were Britons. That's another thing. But they said, hey, dude, why did you include this passage about Purple Rain? And he said, frankly, I couldn't tell you. Really? You wrote this song and you have no idea why you wrote the words. And now let's go to Rick and Morty. Rick and Morty shows Rick as a Prince character in one of the timelines, dead in a little cube. The scientist formerly known as Rick or whatever they did. These things are all pre-echoed. Kobe's the same thing all over again. So all these people, and this will take us into the revelation of method, because people gotta wake up and grow up and quit diving rabbit holes because they're unaware of revelation of method. But the Kobe thing, some 3 weeks or 3 months or whatever the hell it was, there's a cartoon that was put out there to pre-echo for people to find to complete the revelation of method. Kobe dies in a helicopter and he drops five rings and he's got his trophies. Everything was fives from his age to just, I looked at it briefly. And here's what happened this time around. So Kobe, the whole Kobe nonsense, Kobe's about to retire. And by the way, he's taking his daughter with him, or however that works out, to secret Mason Island. We always joke, but we don't know. Here's my point. 3 years ago, this happened. All of a sudden, all these people worried and bummed and loved him and lost him. And then the emails would start to pour in and the calls over a month. This is what happened with Kobe. Within the first hour of the news announcing this nonsense, which took me all of 5 seconds to call fraud, they started calling me, but the calls were different. I don't think this is right, but what do you think, Crow? And there it was, right there on the cusp. For the first time, a human mind not co-opted into the spell-casting nonsense, questioning, not accepting. So I started picking up my phone and not even answering and saying it didn't happen and hanging up. Text came in, didn't happen, send it. That was it. I didn't get any calls back. We've had a shift here. People are now catching on. But what you've got to realize is that fame is on loan. Okay. And so when you think of someone like David Bowie, that's not even his real name. So he's got a corporation, like you have a corporate birth name that was turned into a corporation. All these people on stage do too. What was his name? Davy Jones or something, but he claims he changed it because there was already a Davy Jones. So he becomes David Bowie. There's your corporate name. There's your corporation. There's your identification on loan to you. And what they're killing is the corporation. Yeah, there's no more corporation called David Bowie, but the actor who played David Bowie, pretty sure he didn't die that day. After all, how many people go and make Lazarus-type videos when you're dying of stage 4 cancer? No one I know of. The holes are big, but the problem here is the first ingredient required to cast spells is emotion. And people love these entertainers, don't they? They feel like family members. We've seen them our whole lives. We own their whole catalog of music. You see how this works. There's your emotion. There's the mind hook that prevents common sense from coming into the equation. I would further add that many of these people are of certain bloodlines. Certainly McGowan started to show that all day long, all related to the military-industrial complex or spies and bloodlines. But more than that, what you actually see is these people are not stupid. These are people with a lot of cash who've traveled all over the world, and those two things alone will make a human being more intelligent. You see more of the world, you experience more things. You don't get locked into this, I only believe in the way things work in Minnesota idea, because you've been everywhere. So why would anyone even do that job if all these intelligent people could figure out they were bumping them off as ritual sacrifices? It's just logically unsound. And we can begin to demonstrate with people like Prince and others. By the way, the same day that Prince died, the Queen of England's beer, Purple Rain, came out. By the way, they lit up Niagara Falls in purple right there at that period. It's all just a mind warp, all of it. But there's my big spiel.
No, and it's so true. And when you take into account when Neil Peart, the drummer of Rush, died.
Perfect.
You know, the sales of Rush products went up 2,000%.
And, you know, it'll even be a bigger hit. It's like Jimi Hendrix, you know. Oh, we just found this recording of Jimi Hendrix. No one knew anyone had. Yeah, you want to know why? Because Jimi Hendrix is 70 and he recorded that when he was 50. and it's these signatures is a similar thing. Oh, we found a new Jimi, you know, the Neil Peart thing. Perfect. Spot on. Not buying. Look at the whole story of, oh, his wife died. Oh, his kid died. Oh, he jumped on a motorcycle. Nobody knew where he was. He drove around, you know, it's a emotional construct, and Rush was the perfect band to do it. Because in terms of rock bands, there's not many of them that can fill a stadium anymore. And Rush had a following that was loyal beyond belief. It's all meant to warp your mind, basically.
Yeah, these celebrity deaths definitely hit home. And it's a lot of times the first death people have to deal with when their favorite. Like my first death was Randy Rhoads, and that was the first time I lost somebody. You know, I didn't even know Randy Rhoads, but he's the guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne. If you guys don't know,
listen to how you're proving the point. You know, yeah. Listen to how you're speaking. I lost my brother, my favorite. You know, that's how it feels before you can see.
Exactly, but there is all kinds of stuff that's laid in there for you to supposed to know. And I've been in battles with so many conspiracy theorists over the years on the things that you are supposed to know, that you are supposed to unveil, and that you're, you know, for an example, I had said that they were going to force W into office and make it obvious so that you were angry about it. And then they said it all happened because of his brother, Jeb, you know? And I was like, well, that's the conspiracy you're supposed to know. Then I said the next president won't be constitutionally viable. And next thing they know, you have the birther movement. And, you know, I'm like, no, that's the, you know, you're falling into the trap every time. These are not, this is the trap, you know? You're not unveiling or revealing. You are falling straight into the trap.
Well, you're starting to hint towards revelation of method, and Kobe is a perfect example. We should probably take some time to inform people that all this is based on the misuse of alchemy. Alchemy is like a knife. You can sit down at the table and have a nice meal with a knife. You could carve some art with a knife, or you could do malice with a knife. Alchemy was the science that preceded the science we have, but it only achieved within the scope of nature. And the bastard son of alchemy is chemistry, that doesn't give a damn about nature, that will connive to do whatever it can and has zero concern for the natural world. We'll make chemicals so noxious as to be an insult on any living thing. But the alchemy that's being used, one of the steps here is revelation of method. And what that does is it completes the spell. With the Kobe, one of the revelations of method was that stupid cartoon. And all these people think they're so freaking clever. Oh, look at me. I'm the best researcher. I went and found this cartoon. No, sorry. The cartoon was put there for you to find, for you to complete the last part of the spell called revelation of method. So you didn't do anything but complete the trap that was set for everybody. That's what happened there. In revelation of method, a few things happen. The first thing, when you are faced with evidence beyond doubt that you've been duped, that it's a lie, is you feel violated. Not only do you feel violated, the people who did this are so damn powerful, no one can do anything about it. But here's the kicker. You now know you were screwed over, maybe even criminally so, and you did nothing meaningful to do anything about it. That echoes back to common law. If you're not down with a thing in common law and you do nothing against it, then you've given your tacit permission through non-action. That is a principle of common law being used here. So in the Kobe case, that's what's going on with, oh, I found the cartoon that pre-echoes the death. What you're doing is you're actually, for an adult mind, showing evidence that this is beyond coincidence. By the way, I don't believe in coincidence. But then a short while later, you have to realize you've been duped. And not only that, you have to deal with the grief. I loved Kobe. I followed Kobe's whole career. I rooted for Kobe. I spent money to go see Kobe. How could Kobe do this to me? And yet you do nothing. You've given your tacit permission to criminals, firstly. Secondarily, you've demoralized yourself. Tertiarily, you've made the people who did this seem like they're bigger than they are and they're untouchable. And lastly, you've completed the spell with revelation of method, which basically ends in permission from everybody being given, which means no longer did a wrong exist because everyone has basically said we're fine with it. That's kind of a Cliff Notes view. I don't know. Would you add anything there, Freeman?
I'd add this. So to set this home into the ideas of ritual magic and Freemasonry, when you enter a lodge of Freemasonry to take your first ritual, the one main most important point that you make walking into that lodge, and this is also why they do not recruit, why Freemasons put up those banners that say to be one, ask one, because they won't ask you to join and they won't ask you to walk into that lodge. The first thing you say when you walk in for your Masonic ritual is that I come of my own free will and accord. And this is contract. The soul agreement they need from you. And that's why they reveal this, because you give your free will and accord along with it as you watch it. You know, imagine our entire lives, we would have never seen a single murder. But then count how many murders you've seen. I mean, you couldn't. You couldn't. You sat and watched one episode of John Wick. You know,
there's 110 minutes.
110 minutes. You did count. So just multiply that exponentially to how many times you've seen death, murder, rape, and all of that simply through the programming box. You know, we would have none of these ideas. I think if we didn't have all this fear, we could have more of an open source society that would function on a natural law level, because we're all programmed genetically into that. You know, when we see wrong, we want to stand up, but yet when it's presented to us, it's a whole nother level of conscious altering, you know, because it's not right in your face. You're not sitting there witnessing, but yet it's natural law within your own soul that you're going to want to do something to stop a wrongdoing when it's happening right in front of you. I mean, except for in the modern age where Jerry Seinfeld shows us that you'll just pull out your camera and videotape it.
Right, exactly. So what I think you're pointing out, which may not be obvious to some, is if you went your whole life, never saw a rape or a murder or someone shot in the head at point blank, the first time you saw that, it would be horrifying. But because of media, because of John Wick, because of all this stuff that we're exposed to, it doesn't bother us in the least to see John Wick shoot five people in the head in 5 seconds. We've been desensitized to it. And that is a moral corruption. You see, there should never be a time when murder is entertainment. There should be never a time when rape is inserted into a movie and that movie is considered as entertainment. These are perversions, and it lowers the human intellect. But what's worse than all of it is it deadens your nerves, so to speak. The first time you see a thing, it's shocking. The second time, less so. After you've seen it 100 times, it's like watching a horse eat hay. You've been lowered. You can no longer bring common sense to say that is horrific. Why would anyone film that or try to make that appear real? We've lost that. Even comic books is a good example. When I was a child, I would go to Sunday school, and my reward was we'd stop at 7-Eleven. I could have a small Slurpee, because we did not get sugar drinks unless we were camping. I might get half a soda, and I could pick out one comic book. The idea of comic books in those days was they were for children or really dim-witted adults. I'm not even kidding. But the children half had more attached to it, because it was considered that you can maybe read this one comic book once a week, but all this other stuff you read is not going to be that mind-rotting comic, that childish kind of no-value thing you have in your hand. Now look at what's gone on. I would estimate that 1/2 to 3/4 of all movies are based on comic book characters, certainly the biggest grossing. When you go to Comic-Con, you see mostly adults there that are tied up in this now. And this is a polar shift from in my lifetime, from the late 60s, early 70s. These things were seen by adult human beings in wholly a different way. And this is proof positive of the programming, one aspect of the programming. If you went back to my grandparents' time, I'm reasonably sure my grandmother would have told me, no, you're not picking up that trash. Here, buy a model, build a model, do something constructive or learn something. We've come a long way since what was called the greatest generation. And to put a fine point, Jason and I uncovered in one of our Tavistock episodes a document from Tavistock that stated this: the greatest generation, and so people know that's my grandparents, or the people who were adults going into World War II. Okay, that's the greatest generation. Some of you listening may be your great grandparents. The greatest generation, says Tavistock, will be the hardest to socially engineer and program. The reason for this is they've lived an entire lifetime free of TV for the most part. But each successive generation being further indoctrinated into television will become more pliable and easily programmed. There's never been a truer statement made before the fact than I could ever imagine. We're talking about a document written in the 40s or 50s here. And everything that I just said is absolutely provably true. It has come to pass. So there's all that, Freeman.
Absolutely. Okay, so let's see all the things you triggered into my little brain here. First off, watch Disney's propaganda film called Education for Death. And you will see that that is the standard. If you watch The Last Dinosaur, if you watch the most recent version of Lost in Space, there's a list and a list. If you watch this early propaganda film by Disney, by Walt Disney co-made, called Education for Death, okay, this one was so popular in social engineering of convincing, okay, the point of it is to convince a child when it's okay to kill. When is it the right time to kill? And so you'll see this in The Last Dinosaur when the dad's trying to tell his little baby dinosaur that he needs to kill that human. And the baby dinosaur is like, I don't want to kill. It's the same story. And you'll see the same thing in Lost in Space when little Will is has to kill. And so Education for Death is constantly replayed in other ways and forms throughout everything. Now, this propaganda film from Disney was so well done, and so well it worked so well that Goebbels, the Nazi propagandist, adopted Walt Disney's method and made his own version of Education for Death. So, you know, let's get that straight, right? It was Walt Disney teaching the Nazis propaganda techniques, not the other way around. And they're proud of it.
More closely tied than people might imagine, Germany and Disney.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, well, Werner von Braun was on Walt Disney's TV show numerous times, right?
There it is. Wonderful World of Disney. Every Sunday night, we'll tell you what's next in space.
Exactly. Okay, so if you get actually the whole film, the whole propaganda collection, it's called Disney on the Front Lines, and you can only buy it from Disney as far as I can tell. They're proud of the fact that Goebbels adopted Disney's techniques. You know, they talk about it in the whole documentary. So it's not like it's hidden or anything like that. They're absolutely proud of that fact. And they show you all their propaganda films. And, you know, Donald Duck got more people to pay their taxes than any government campaign ever devised. So then that brought me to my first shock, my first horror. Okay, I'm old enough. I'm 52 now. I've been through this whole progression. As a matter of fact, my house had the first color television in the neighborhood. All right, my dad built it because he was a whiz with those sort of things. He built a computer. He built the color television. You know, we had all that crap before anyone else ever had any inkling of it. There weren't even color stations on most of them, you know, even though we had a color TV. But anyway, I've been there since the beginning is what I'm saying. And so when I saw Stephen King's Salem's Lot, that movie is a vampire movie. It horrified me. It kept me up at nights. It scared me so to death, right? Well, I went back and watched Salem's Lot again as an adult. And there's not one act of violence in the entire film. It cuts before the acts of violence. All those acts of violence were generated in my mind. They were never actually in the film. And so there was a new way. Stephen King was definitely, you know, one of these roads into the perversion of our consciousness. But this is, if you go all the way back to Salem's Lot, you'll see there's not one act of violence in there, but yet the child mind will trigger those acts of violence anyway. So then the other thought that you spurred in me was the idea when Superman died and Batman had his back broken in the comic book series, not the movies. They did eventually make these into films, but before that, when they were comic books and we were going through the death of Superman and we were going through Batman being replaced. Okay, when Batman's back was broken in the comic book, he was replaced by a character known as Azrael. right? He's now in the movies, or he's in Gotham. He's in the TV show Gotham, where now you see we no longer venerate the heroes, right? Now it's Joker, now it's Harley Quinn, now it's, you know, Azrael as our heroes, the villains. So this also brings up the point that I was going to make. When Superman died and Batman had his back broken and was replaced by the fallen angel Azrael, now Azrael became a Batman that went and killed people and ripped spines from bodies and all of that. This had never happened before. Batman did not kill, right? So the comic book fans were up in arms about this, mostly. Like, Batman doesn't kill? What is this? So they got rid of Azrael and brought Batman back. But at that moment, that whole world fell apart, and it was the rise of Image Comics. And that is when Spawn, Hellspawn, replaced Superman as a hero. And the first villain that Hellspawn goes up against is a pedophile rapist. So this is a children, quote unquote, children's comic book. And our heroes had died. Batman and Superman both died at the same time. Well, Batman has back broken, but yeah, same difference. And they were replaced by Hellspawn. So those are all the layers and levels that you have to look into this as they program everything. You know, there's a reason Walt Disney owns Marvel, Star Wars, Fox. You know, it's all the major propaganda arms that will affect people. And that's what we're up against here.
Well, there's another side of this that most people aren't aware of. And my co-host, Jason Lindgren, we research shows. Jason feels like it's five corporations, what I'm about to say. I feel like it's closer to two corporations. This is echoed in the movie Citizen Kane, by the way, which is including the idea of Tubal Cain, or the bloodline of biblical Cain, that these people love to associate themselves with. In that movie, they go find the 12 most influential papers in the country and they buy them so they can control the public discourse and thought. That actually happened in this country in 1913, in real life, by the, it's not Getty, I forget, one of the Rand? Banking. What's the other banking guy, starts with G? I can't think of it right now, I wanna say Getty. But I don't think it's right. But he's the guy who was doing it. He was in the Jekyll Island nonsense. But to get back to the point here, what's actually happened is all entertainment. Like, go look up Disney on Wikipedia and look at its holdings. Jason and I did this. We couldn't even, if we would have sat down and just one by one read off the holdings of Disney, we could have filled an hour. The shuttered businesses, or I guess that implies closed businesses alone, would have taken the better part of an hour. What you're looking at is somewhere between five and two corporations owning all of it, all music outlets, the internet companies that control your search engines and all else, like YouTube, Google, whatever, the ones that matter, the Amazons, the book purveying, the news. And when I say news, I mean all news, because your local stations just rerun what they're sent, by the way. They run, well, I won't get into that. Point is so knowing this, if you want to go with Jason, five corporations owning it all, or if you want to go with where I'm at, closer to two, that doesn't even matter. And here's why. Because all the people who sit on the directorships of those corporations sit on overarching groups like the Club of Rome, the TFR, the CFR, these kinds of secretish society bloodlined in things. So basically what we're saying here is it's the same group of people controlling the game across all these corporations. A recent chairman of the CFR recently said, or not too long ago said, he chuckled and said, the TFR does not secretly run the world. And he chuckled and he said under his breath, the CFR does that, of which he was chairman. So that's what's going on here. And it's full spectrum. Freeman and I were just talking about the nonsensical coronavirus. And now when you go look at the Trump things, Freeman pointed out, oh, this is plaguing the Democrats, or the Republicans are plagued. You know, it's full spectrum across all, you know, all their assets. It's going to come in a movie. It's going to come in the next song, because people who play music now do not write music. They perform music. like Britney Spears, like Elvis Presley. They do not write music. They're performers. They're corporations that are there to perform and entertain, and they'll do what they're told to do. Going all the way back to America, pre-echoing the coming death of Prince some 40 years before the fact. How is it that guy can say, I don't know why that line was in that song that I wrote? Yeah, because he probably didn't write the line. And even if he did, he was directed to do it and he didn't understand what it was going to mean, or at least he wouldn't for 40 some odd years. So this is really what we're talking about. So at some point as an adult human being, you have to grow the hell up. You have to let go of your little fantasies, you know, this idea that you somehow some musician is your hero. No, they're not. There is nothing heroic about that person. You know, this idea of hero is a thing we should touch on. Right now, if you served in the military or you're a police officer or fireman, you're a hero. No, you're not. I served during the first Gulf War as a United States Marine, and I am not a hero, and neither are the vast majority of people I served with. There were a few that might qualify as heroes, but this idea that hero is anyone who does these things is nonsense. You want to know what a hero is? This is what a real hero is. A hero is someone who will give it all away at a moment's notice, their life, if it calls for it, for the sake of someone or other people's concerns. That's a hero. And all this other nonsense is just more programming at a level that's become absurd, because basically, and you could probably correct me here, Freeman, wasn't it the CIA who published that document everyone's read that says, we'll be able to tell our programming of the American people is complete when every single thing they believe is wrong?
Yep.
There it is.
That's absolutely correct. And I think they may have given us the answer back in the beginning when they presented us with the movie War Games.
Huh.
Yeah? Yeah. The only way to win this game of thermonuclear warfare.
It's not to play the game.
Exactly. But yet that's so difficult for people because they want to be on one team or the other. Like, I always found that a weird programming script in people. I've never had high school pride or anything like that. Like, while I was watching Kansas City play football, it dawned on me, oh, wait a minute, I'm a Jayhawk, you know, even though, as Trump misinformed the world, Kansas City is not in Kansas, it's in Missouri. But, you know, I'm even a Jayhawk, which is KU, Kansas University, not Kansas State, where they are. But anyway, that gets awful confusing.
Yeah, there's two Kansas cities, actually.
Yes, yes. Yeah, there's Kansas City, Kansas, and Kansas City, Missouri. But Kansas City, Kansas is nothing but, you know, warehouses. And, but for some strange reason, that's where Google Fiber decided to start their first town. I don't know why. It was like in the ghetto, because I looked into like moving there. I thought, wow, let me jump on this, you know, and use this super Wi-Fi. And I went to go see what homes they were using for that, and it was all ghetto.
Yeah, I was going to say, because it's poor and they can buy anything they want.
Yeah, well, you know, they wanted everybody to join this Google Fi situation, or the Google, yeah. Anyway, that's besides the point. But yes, to not play the game is a very difficult thing, because people are picking sides, picking teams, and they want to be on the winning team. And this is something that, you know, is going to really play out this week. We're recording this a little early, but we'll find out between the Trump inauguration and the Trump impeachment. Or not the inauguration, sorry, State of the Union.
Are you with me, Freeman? Are they going to pull the Clinton here? They're going to say, look, this guy got semen on a girl's dress. He's impeached. And by the way, we're reelecting him. is that what we're about to do here?
He's not going to be impeached. He's going to be acquitted. It's going to be a non-issue, and was more of a, you know, something to just try everything they can to not allow this man to get the presidency again, is what I think anyway.
I would not be surprised if he came around again. It's all, you know, what I mean, you remember, you were there during Clinton, you know, the whole Ken Starr semen on the dress, the lowering of human minds. They wasted like 2 or 3 years of people's lives, even to the point where Clinton said, well, that depends what the definition of the word is.
Yes.
It's just the same game all over again. You know, we've covered, this is the one thing that makes people crazy. When we actually state the provable truth that nobody in this country's vote does anything to seat a president. You don't pick them. You don't put them in the running, and you sure as hell, when you're being polled, hint, 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 on polling day, hint, 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 you do not seat the president. The Electoral College does that. And by the way, there are plenty of examples where the Electoral College sat someone against the popular vote, which proves it. But that's a whole other thing.
Right. Well, I want to get deep into some of that with you in the members section. I got a few thoughts and theories I want to throw at you on that whole vein of things and just get your opinion on it. And I love it in the members section because we can talk about anything and not worry about censorship, not worry about anything. Right. So it's a nice place to be. Just to remind folks, hey, if you want to become a member, come over to freemantv.com and subscribe, get the bonus hours. There's, you know, 6 years, I think now, 5 years, something like that in the members section of bonus hours. And you also get all the Oracle years and a bunch of bonus content. So it's worth it, and it helps keep this show free for everybody else. So if a few of you come over, subscribe, it helps keep everything free for everyone else in this free hour. So I just want to throw that in there. And also, I want to mention that I cannot upload to YouTube. I still don't know what's wrong. It won't allow me, and I don't know if I'll ever actually contact YouTube to see if there's an issue or what's going on, but it just won't upload. It'll just keep loading and loading and loading, but never get past 18%. So I don't know what that is, but they're not allowing me to upload to YouTube. So, you know, there's plenty of ways to listen to this show from your iPhone, your Android, your Google Play, your Apple Podcast, your Stitcher, Spotify. You know, don't ask me to go to BitChute. I'm already on 8 platforms. I don't see why I need another. Just come over and subscribe to any one of the feeds. It'll go straight to your phone, straight to your tablet, straight to your apps. You can use any podcasting app and just put it in there. And just, you know, we don't need them. We don't need YouTube and all of them. Use freemantv.com. It's existed longer than YouTube. So there you go. And Crow, let's make sure everybody knows all the dots and digits for finding you and all your wonderful information. If you guys don't know, you know, you really hit the stage with the lunar wave. And that really made a huge impact on the ideas of space and what we're really looking at. So I just wanted to make sure people remembered all that. But let's tell them how to find you.
Yeah, that went worldwide quick, didn't it, man? The floodgate opened. So people can find me, like Freeman. We do what we have to do now. We run a private server where we can't be censored for the second hour of content. Actually, anyone who knows what's going on with a podcast does this now. So basically, crow777radio.com. It's crrow777radio.com. It's basically the price of a expensive latte for a month. We run the first hours free to a lot of places. YouTube is one of them. That's crow777, two R's in crow. It's a play on my corporate birth name, crrow777. But I don't really steer people to YouTube. Because between you and me, Freeman, who the hell knows if it'll even be there tomorrow after all the thousands of hours of work we put into it.
Exactly.
But if you come to my private website, you know, we're doing what Freeman's doing. We're trying to protect free speech and say things that Google will not allow you to say. Like right now, if I tell you Kobe's fake, me and Freeman both know that there's a good chance that Google won't be down with that, even though we've went through the revelation of method. Go figure.
You know it. The censorship is heavy and hard. And what they do to me is just block me from access to my own stuff. So everybody just thinks I quit because it all still stands there. It just doesn't get updated. And, you know, and you got to follow me on Twitter to know these things. So @FreemanTV is my Twitter. And you'll get all the updates there for anything that you need to know. And all of the news stories that I find most important, especially on human cloning and the ideas of what's going on in our upper atmosphere. So I like to tweet a lot about those type of news stories. So follow me on Twitter and get all the updates, and then you'll know everything that's going on. And any final thoughts for this first hour?
You know, one thing did occur to me. Are you using the new beta uploader on YouTube? Because if you are, you should click over to the old system. I used it once and I found the upload hung, now that I'm thinking about it.
Okay.
So if you're doing that, there is a way, and there are different setups, but there is a way to go back to the old uploader. You should try that, and okay, of course, resetting thing. But my thoughts are this. Everyone's minds are really beginning to grasp things that 3 years ago were crazy talk, because what was missing 3 years ago is common sense had been programmed out of almost every adult human mind. What's happening now is common sense is coming back to adult human minds. And if that happens, this nonsensical world of illusion can't exist. We get a sizable number of adult human beings that have simply one thing, common sense, and a lot of this illusion starts to fall apart. And so just think about it. And here's a good measure. When you watch, say, the new Spider-Man, do you get lost in the storyline? Are you completely immersed as if that was the world around you for that time while watching it? Because if you say yes to that, you're being programmed in the heaviest way possible. And I'll give you this trick and this tip that I started doing, I don't know, over 20 years ago, probably. I was a stagehand, a roadie for a lot of years. And I find this very useful. When you're watching something on a screen like a movie, think about, where's the cameraman? Where did they mic everything? What portions of the scene are CGI? Constantly, all the way through the film, make that part of the running. How did they make this? And when you start to make that habit, you've diminished some of the programming. Because when you get sucked in to the world where everything else around you disappears, your mind has, it's actually chemically no different than it's if you were on an opiate, the brain waves that are created. They're like sleep pattern brain waves. But anyhow, there it is, Freeman.
Hey, that's the truth. And I have to admit that I've annoyed almost all of my friends throughout my entire life because I did go into that type of mind state. And right, if I come out of a movie, I will not remember a single thing that happened in that movie. And it is so annoying to people because they're like, you just saw it. And they're quoting lines and things of that nature. I don't take it in that way. For some reason, my brain does not take it that way. So you can reference any movie to me and I won't know anything that you're talking about, even though right, I may have just seen it.
There's an important difference. When you go out in the world, you don't have to consider the mechanics. There is no lie in nature. When you're looking at a cheap knockoff, which is what entertainment is of the real world, mechanics, stagecraft did that. So it's common sense to consider to yourself, what were the mechanics that made this illusion that I'm viewing? Because until you can recognize it all as an illusion, you got a lot catching up to do.
So what we're basically pointing out here is that the world is now awakened to the fact that they are run by ritual magicians, secret societies, and groups like the CFR and Trilateral and Council of Club of Rome, that there are secret hands behind these things that actually participate in magical acts that are intended to cause massive consciousness change on the planet. And as we become aware of this, they're aware of our awareness. And so they're playing upon that. So you are meant to dig up certain things, meant to bring about this revelation of method to complete the spell, to add your own part to the revelation of the method. So perhaps we do need to go back to war games, understand that the only way to win this game is to not play it, and then recognize that they actually gave us the tools to free ourselves if we can use them in the proper way. And we now could possibly have the first open source society planet-wide if we are willing to not play their game and start playing our game. We have the tools to get together. We have the tools of communication. So before they take it all away from us, let's really try to lock in and realize what spell we want to cast. So thank you all so much, and we will see you next week.